So when I first started looking into trash talk, I decided that I wanted to look at this. I was enamored with the reaction to Richard Sherman's post-game rant after the playoff game against the 49ers, where he just kind of went off on air. There was a very strong negative reaction to it, but there was also a very positive reaction as well. His Twitter following doubled, the sale of his jerseys went up, most of his sponsors started playing his commercials again. And I said, you know, what's going on here? We have this kind of love-hate relationship with trash talk. So I wanted to start studying it, and I studied it originally from the perspective of fans and how they reacted to it. As I began to look into it and the research that had been done on it, I wasn't finding a lot. Part of the reason is because a lot of researchers don't actually call it trash talk because it is a slang term, so you have to try to find the actual terms that people are using, like competitive incivility is one of the terms that somebody,
it's the polite term that somebody uses.
But even looking at some of the more euphemistic terms for it, I still wasn't finding a ton of studies. And it's actually hasn't been until 2018, really, when I started working on my study, that I started finding more researchers were putting out work on trash talk.
Now, you went in with a couple of hypotheses, which is the usual approach of research. You had a question you wanted to answer, and based on certain assumptions and ideas. What were those ideas?
I changed gears after looking at the audience reaction to trash talk, and I really wanted to get a sense of what was happening on a psychological and emotional level for people who were the targets of trash talk. Again, because there hadn't really been any studies that looked at this up until this point, I was starting from scratch, and I was really going based off of trying to think of my own competitive experiences. I played volleyball when I was younger, had engaged in trash talk myself, and had been the recipient of trash talk, and was trying to think of how did I react to it? What were the feelings that I was feeling? What was I thinking? Looking at some of the research that had been done, how people define trash talk, what they thought was going on, but nobody had actually tested it. So I really had to look across multiple disciplines and areas of study to kind of try and piece together what I thought was going on. And based on definitions of my own feelings about what I had been feeling and thinking at the time, that trash talk was a cognitive distraction. It was somebody trying to take you out of thinking about your performance task and think about something else. It was also an emotional manipulation. That's actually, you know, somehow one of the sources defined it. Because part of the intent of trash talk is to make you angry or to shame you or to think, get you thinking about, I'm not good enough. Am I really competing here? Disrupting your emotions such that you are no longer able to perform up to your best standard at whatever task you're performing. Those were kind of the two main avenues that I took in terms of constructing my statistical model. All of those lead into your motivation to perform, that in order to perform effectively, you need to have a certain motivation to move forward. Whether you are distracted, whether you are angry, whether you're feeling shame, that is going to affect your motivation to perform.
And having looked at this now, using the model of game, bringing your test subjects, for lack of a better phrase, into compete against each other and then inject some of the verbal jabs that would serve as the so-called trash talk. What did you find that confirmed or surprised you in the end result of your study?
It was really interesting. We definitely found that people were distracted, and there were two levels of distraction. There's an auditory distraction where you hear a sound and you pay attention to it. What is that sound? Am I in trouble? Do I need to worry about what that sound is? But once you realize that auditory distraction is not in danger, you can filter it out. Then you need a cognitive distraction. So there's that idea that, okay, now what's the informational value of this distraction? And you gets you to dwell on it. I found both auditory and cognitive distraction, but it was specifically the cognitive distraction that was affecting people's motivation to perform, that it was affecting their ability to focus on their task. I also did find that people were feeling both anger and shame. And the interesting thing that I found, I had originally conceived anger and shame to be two opposite reactions, that people would either feel one or the other strongly, that if you felt angry, it was going to motivate you more. There were studies on, limited studies on trash talk suggesting, and actually performance studies suggesting, that anger is a motivator to perform because it creates that energy. So I anticipated that it would produce this energy to perform. And the other one was shame, that you would kind of withdraw and it would negatively affect your performance. What I found actually is that both anger and shame were related to each other, that people didn't feel one or the other. They tended to feel both. And that in many cases, what actually happened is that people felt shame more strongly and that it made them angry. And that affected their performance. So that was something that I hadn't expected.
But your idea was that there would be some distraction and loss of concentration because of what was going on. And that was confirmed in what you saw.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
But the different thing was the anger-shame dynamic for the emotion?
I anticipated that anger was going to increase participants' motivation to perform. What I actually found is that it decreased their motivation to perform, which was unexpected because I had anticipated that they were going to feel this need to beat their opponent and it was going to spur them to want to perform better. And for some reason, it didn't. And part of that had to do with the performance task itself. One of the things that I found was that wasn't just the idea of a competitive task, that the particular competitive task itself did matter. Trash talk is very often used and associated with sport, and the particular activity that I used in my experiment was actually a video game competition. So you had people who were very interested in playing video games, and then there were people who were very interested in sports, but the people who were interested in sports didn't necessarily feel motivated to be angry and motivated to play that game when the trash talk was directed at them. So that was kind of an unusual finding.
The other thing that you mentioned in your conclusion was the preparation for competition that was kind of counterintuitive to what you found in the study.
Right. So one of the things is that, when athletes prepare, they practice, they train, they weight train. And there are now sports psychologists, and part of their preparation is to help athletes visualize success. When I was growing up, sports psychology was just kind of coming into practice, but it was, visualize yourself being successful, see yourself making that shot or doing whatever. It was very much about self-actualizing, but there isn't really an idea in sports psychology, to my knowledge, about inoculating yourself against these auditory or verbal attacks from trash talk. We know they're coming. Athletes deal with them all the time. We practice defensive drills all the time on the court in sports, but you don't practice defensive mental drills. And part of the reason I don't think they can do that is because there hasn't been enough study on trash talk to be able to formulate a kind of defense. The study that I did is one of the first and only that I've found that has actually attempted to map out the cognitive and emotional processes that a person will actually feel while being the target of trash talk.
This is all like the head game of sports.
Right.
Where the 5 inches or whatever the number is between the ears can make or break the outcome based on how you react to the situation. And this is sort of like the wild card in the situation.
We always think of sports as being very physical games, but they are absolutely mental games. Plenty of coaches will tell you to get your head in the game because having that mental edge and being mentally focused is incredibly important. And that's especially important in sports that require hand-eye coordination and things like that. But I've also had friends who participated in just running sports where you had to be in an all-out sprint who have assured me that there is still a mental component in running, doing a straight race. So there's always that mental component, and trash talk is another form of offense that athletes have to play defense against.